People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation. Control sound, so shooting rocket to the moon, kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
So, round and round we go, where the world's headed, said nobody knows.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and got lots to talk about, and hopefully you folks are recovering from that massive political election event, and I guess I could also say you're probably confused as all get up. You know, you got a guy who has done nothing ever, and another guy who is in place to do something, but all that he's done is make money and collect donations from his friends, and we now got promises. So it's not about the politicians, it's about the people. It's a low turnout, and maybe that is reflective of what we think about politics or what we as individuals think about our surroundings. And I would say that basically, given the number of years that we've seen the Democratic Party in power in this state, there's two things that I find, and I'd like to say that I think that, first of all, the Republicans, see, this is what we get when we get people focusing on birth certificates and you can't, I'm not going to sell you a cake because you're gay and all. In the meantime, the real issues are being squandered and we're being devoured and our monies are being misspent by the Democratic Party. So Republican Party, this should be a wake-up call for you, too. And I think DeJew is seeing that. This is why he know we're frustrated with the Democrats. But he's bringing nothing to the table. It's all wah-wah, you know, hot air and promises. And God forbid if he were to be given 10 minutes to give a clear and a structured example of what he's going to do, identifying the problem, discussing it, and telling us specifically what he's going to do. If he could do that, it'd be okay. But then the low turnout, the voter turnout, is there's a lot to be said about that. And on my way in here, I was thinking, why bother to work for a people? Why bother to? Why not just start going on vacation and mind your own business when you get one time, one measly day, or you could vote by mail and then nothing happens? And then Sundays, I personally return here saying that I'm speaking on behalf of those people that are less fortunate and that are being deprived of justice and all of that, and then when it's their turn to just stand up, be a part of something, make a statement, they're not there. And I know that someone would probably tell me, well, you know, it's because they don't have the money. They don't have this. They don't have, it's a struggle. Well, I've often said a vote is the most important thing you have in your life. And you should cherish it. And when you get an opportunity to exercise that right, then you should be waiting. But Republicans, I still say, ain't much to be said about your plans and your tactics and what you're really about. Because if something like this can fester and higher taxes, high, you know, just everything, homeless rates, just you name it, corruption in government, fraud, you name it, and you still can't win. But you're on top of everything about sex and people's private lives and things. And step back and just say, let God or whoever you think is responsible, let that happen on the watch of the Almighty, whoever that be or whatever that may be. And get back to the human side of it. You're human beings who are involved in politics. And so to allow, I think this is tantamount to seeing the Democratic Party is so corrupt. The newspaper tell you who to vote for, and yet they are reluctant to cover stories that would expose these Democratic players. And won't share with them. But then at the weekend in the editorials, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, vote for this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. That's grabbing me by the nose and leading me to the trough to drink or to the slaughterhouse. And I see there's a caller here. I hope it's so important. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
It's very interesting what you talked about, the elections that I called back in. Albert Lanier, of course, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's interesting what you're bringing out. You know, I did want to talk a little about the elections, the primary elections. because there were some interesting results, and I haven't been able to follow, you know, the elections as much this year because I've been busy with, oh, geez, other things. So, unfortunately, I haven't paid as much attention to it as I normally do, especially when I'm covering them, or I have covered as a reporter.
Yeah, we can discuss that at free will. There are some things that I want to talk about and share in offering so the listeners can see hard examples, not theory. I don't believe in sitting around and talking about.
Yeah, I know you're not a big theoretical guy.
I don't like that. Not yet. Well, also when there's many examples just right at the tip of our fingers and at the tip of our tongue that we can express and say, the most fraudulent activity in politics today in this state of Hawaii is the Democratic Party. It's fraudulent, and I mean right down to the person like you or myself contacting a state agency or a city agency that's primarily appointed and dictated by a Democrat, and we get treated as if we don't even have the right to make a phone call to them. We are at their mercy. So, and there are many other things, and you know. So, go ahead with your comments or what.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about in regards to this primary election is, even though primary elections and elections in Hawaii sometimes are not that fascinating because of the low voter turnout, I think this year the voter turnout was even worse, if I recall correctly. It may be worse than even 2008. Mm-hmm. The last I saw in the coverage last night was like 34%.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that is there.
Well, you know, and we'll talk loosely about much of this, and feel free to. But you know, here's an example. There's out in Waianae, and those of you that are offended by what I say, I'll apologize to myself for not saying this earlier. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't care what you think, because in a democracy, we can't see this thing repeat itself, and money's coming in from the big spenders and the donors and the contractors and the unions playing games, and we got people, you know, to the point that we got Democrats jumping over to support a Republican. It's nothing about kumbaya. It's about strategies, and they fail, and they're bitter about the rail and what have you, and they tried. So we need some true politics, whatever that means. But you take, for example, as one case, there's that Cedric Gates out there in Waianae.
Right.
So you see the Democrats, they come along and say early, oh, well, he can't run as a Democrat, but we overlooked it, so therefore, right? And so the paper comes along and says, who let that minority in? It basically, it might as well have said that. Because, look, it is illegal or it's not illegal. It is a violation or it's not a violation. If the Democrats overlooked it, and what's really sad, truly a sad commentary, and all of the people on that side should give some consideration to this. If Joe Jordan is the active, is the reigning or sitting legislator in that position out there, and she didn't even, and you should know your opponent, right? Am I right?
Yeah, as well as you can.
Well, but I mean, you know, she know that he ran as a Green Party the last time. Okay. And then secondly, she know that now he's running as a Democrat. What about self-preservation? And so I think what I love about it is that you see Cedric Gates did something. He went back to the old school. He was out there beating the pavement and recruiting people and soliciting from them, have you voted? No, I haven't. Would you like to register to vote? Yes, I will. And they were driving people to the voting poll.
Uh-huh.
But see, if you're a cushion Democrat and you've already screwing the people and you're just part of the tag team, you shouldn't be shocked. Just go away. Jordan wouldn't respond to any phone calls. I've contacted her on matters.
Well, it's interesting that you brought, I figured you would bring this up, because I was on Facebook, and somebody had brought up, now for those people out there who probably don't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about Cedric Gates. He's
Gates.
The one who Gates, yeah. Senator Gates, a guy who's on the Waianae Neighborhood Board, and he beat the incumbent, Joe Jordan, last night. 52.2% to 49.1%. So he beat her by over 10 points, or nearly over 10 points. And what I heard, the reason why I brought up, because, again, I hadn't been paying attention as much attention. There were a few races I was looking at. I hadn't paid as much attention. This is why I was on Facebook, and somebody had put up a picture, and it was a picture of Gates' sign, and I won't say the word. But
you can say it. Hold on. Stop for a minute. On other radio shows, you can play that kind of approach and approach it that way. And that way, we don't want to say the N-word. In the meantime, they're treating us like we're niggers. So I just don't buy into that. Properly used, if you're reflecting the truth, I don't buy into this new age way of communicating. And then what does that mean? Numbskull? Or nappy? Or you understand, and that is part of the problem, you see. But meantime, they jab and stab him with, well, you know, let's tar and feather him in the media right away. Let's start.
Well, I saw that on Facebook because one of his relatives was upset. He has relatives out there in Waianae, and his relatives was upset. That's why they put up the picture. They said this guy's been working in neighborhood board. He's been working to benefit his community. I don't know Gates. Personally, I haven't spoken to him. I know you tried to reach out to him to speak to him. But what's interesting is, despite what I would call typical political shenanigans and skullduggery, Gates won that race. He beat an incumbent. You know, to me, that's one of the most interesting results of this primary election.
And what was the takeaway? That the Democrats were just too damn dumb to do what they do anyway, is keep people out and put people in that they like, right? And they failed at it. And so instead of letting it go, the paper should have said, here is another example, ladies and gentlemen, of the dumbest of the dumb. You see, and Cedric Gate was brilliant. He, just like Gale Sayers, he saw the tackles, he saw the confrontation, and he went around them. And like O.J. Simpson, he jumped over them.
I assume, I haven't checked, so I don't know if he has a Republican.
Paula Hui, yeah, he has one. He has a Republican opponent.
So that's going to be, that would be an interesting race to look at come general election time.
Yeah.
I would say people who, if you're looking at races, if you're political junkies, I don't know how many people out there are, look at that race. The Cedric Gates race in Waianae. That should be fairly interesting. Hopefully it won't get nasty, but I probably think it will.
When you say it won't get nasty, how so?
I mean, we already see this already in this race.
This what? What are you saying about NASA?
Blurs on his posters,
okay.
On his signs. We've already seen that.
Okay.
So it may get even nastier, I don't know.
And
but hopefully it won't.
But it may be suggested that it's nasty or described as it being nasty, but apparently it's also telling that people will frown on that kind of behavior. They clearly didn't pay attention, and I would say go ahead and put in the general, go ahead and put some more up there, because it sounds like it boosted him, and it sounds like the people out in Waianae in that district love one another, and they don't give them what you are in color.
Right.
They want some smart person there that's going to take on their issues. And while I'm on it, Joe Jordan, when it came down to the sexual orientation issues in the legislature that was addressing those, she didn't have the guts to even speak up on that publicly. And I understand she's openly gay, and I support all gay people. But again,
that's a whole.
Well, but
you know
but
what I
but
mean?
Again, you know, and
it's a personal issue for her, and maybe she doesn't want to make her personal life.
Yeah, but she's a representative, and when
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's something that's probably, I have to say, even not unusual. You may have, I hate to admit this, closeted politicians who remain silent on that issue.
And we appreciate that. We appreciate that view, but here's the problem. When you're a state representative and you're representing a body of people, you know, you either say, well, my personal things can't get in the way. I got to look for legislation that's going to benefit and be just and fair and equitable to all people. And when you have something of this issue, you don't have to introduce your personal leanings or anything.
Right.
But don't hire the internal people to go out there and go, well, you know, that Cedric Gates, he snuck in. You know, he didn't have his hand stamped. When he put his hand under the luminescent light, it didn't shine. So he snuck in.
Right.
Well, meantime, well, then your dumbass was in the position. You should have seen it. It is your responsibility.
Right.
So it's after the fact. You should have said, newspaper, you want to see the most wicked, dumbest thing we've ever done? We let a Green Party person come in and plop down and run as a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He beat us.
Right. Well, she was an incumbent. She was elected. She was appointed, actually, by Abercrombie, and then reelected a couple of times, 2012, 2014. But you've been a two-term incumbent in the House.
Right.
And you're holding. In Hawaii, generally, incumbents don't lose. Generally. They sometimes lose, as in this case. But generally, they don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing to a newcomer by what? 231 votes or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me says a lot about either her tenure there at the legislature or something going on in the community.
Well, all of those, I think, and
you got to keep in mind that Waianae has always been a very poor area, very low on the socioeconomic indices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an area that needs help, has always needed help. And, I don't know how much of a, if Gates wins his race against, I think it's Mark Pa'alui.
I don't have it in front of me. Pa'alui, I think.
I think so.
He can call and correct us if he'd like.
But, you're looking at it, that to me is an interesting race. Of course, you mentioned there's problems with the Democratic Party, right? Because they were saying he's not really a Democrat or he doesn't have the, I don't know, his paperwork or he shouldn't be on the ballot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of an obstacle, but he's won anyway. So that's a very interesting race. I was aware of it because I think a relative of his out in Waianae was pissed. He was upset because he had these racial slurs put on his posters.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of shenanigans and dirty dealing tactics are, they're here. People say that there isn't racism in Hawaii. Here's an instance of it, very clear instance.
Well, if you want to see racism in Hawaii, let's look at the parties that are running. I said last week, I want to see a picture where De Jus is socializing with black people or people of color. I want to see that.
You'll never see that.
I want to see him. I want to see some pictures and videos where he's touching, like Mother Teresa. He's intimate with the homeless. I want to see that.
The homeless? No, you'll never see
or
that.
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying.
I know someone who is a union president and political activist, and he was mentioning the three major mayoral candidates who come down to Thomas Square, where there's Food Not Bombs every Sunday and feeding the homeless, and they should talk. They should talk to the homeless. And I said, no, that's not going to happen. These guys aren't going to deal with the homeless.
Well, and I want to be fair, not malign with my comments on DeJu, but Caldwell has been Hitler and Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
When the camera's on, he's Santa.
Right.
When the camera's away, he's Hitler.
Well, Crook Caldwell, Kirk Caldwell.
Right.
Mispronounced it. Caldwell, what you see with this mayoral race is you see the Three Stooges. Caldwell, DeJu, and Carlisle. That's how I call them.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, the worst municipal race, the worst mayoral race in terms of choices in years.
Mm-hmm.
It's three candidates who are total and utter failures.
Mm-hmm.
Total and utter failures. I mean, what kind of choice is there between these three men?
Well,
I mean, even when it comes to rail, none of these guys have any kind of really clear stance other than Caldwell, who's for building rail and eventually what? Building it, building the original route, maybe someday to Ala Moana, which is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be 20 stations, 20, 21 stations. It's supposed to end at Ala Moana. And then they decided to cut it back to Middle Street. I mean, this is what we talk about when it comes to rail. And so the mayoral contest is the Jews saying, hey, you know, if I get elected, I'm going to build it out to Ala Moana. Well, that was what it was supposed to have been in the first place. How is this an improvement? Oh, and I won't necessarily take taxpayer money. We'll find a privatized way of getting it. So let me see. You're, instead of giving money to the crooks and criminals and people that have been bribed, that are getting bribes and kickbacks for rail, you're going to get money from the crooks and criminals and the corrupt elements so they can finish the rail.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
And then this was Carlisle who said, well, you know, the GET tax won't impact people in regards to paying for rail. It won't have any noticeable impact. Of course, when he was asked this, he didn't know how much money from the GET would actually go to rail. So
mm-hmm.
this is the choice that voters had yesterday. These three men.
Right.
There's no clarity other than Caldwell. And we know what the deal with Caldwell is. He's a puppet for the rail interest. He has always been someone who's a figurehead and not a figure.
Yeah.
He's a puppet and not a politician.
So, you know, let's take, for example, Dave sent me a picture. Once again, we've seen one of these where it's just on the trolley, for campaign trolley, mm-hmm. for Caldwell, Filipinos for Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this thing about race doesn't matter when you're voting in blocks and ethnicity. You know, at some point, it's all going to collapse on us because you can't take something from others and specialize in giving it to another group and because they're in power. And you go in through, look at the representation in state government. You see, we say they're minorities, but there are only certain groups of minorities that are running the state government. And then when I come along, it's like, hey, who let you off the back of the bus, dude? You know, and that's the treatment. That's the reality here. I wished I could come up with some better explanation and, you know, be more neutral in my forming my opinion. But they form my opinion for me. You know, they're unethical. They're evil. They lie. They steal. They cheat. And they carry the banner for the governor, the Democratic Party, and they're entrenched. And that's why I'm so frustrated with the Republicans, because if you know some of the Republicans that I know, good people, straightforward, fair, just regular people. Mm-hmm. You get the other guys that drink nitro in the morning and get wired up and got to go out there and look for the birth certificate. But that's okay. We see they don't stay in power that long. But again, people need to get away from that. And, you know, this thing with Cedric Gates where they put the word nigger on his signs. And I've had one written about me in Kiwala Basin when Lyndon Lingle was in. Did they ever respond? Didn't call it a hate crime. But now, in his case, they call it a hate crime. Is it investigated by the federal government? Did the attorney general speak up and says, we will not tolerate this and we're going to put every resource there is to ferret out who did this, right? No, you didn't get that because it's the Democratic Party and because it's, you know, when you only got 10 black people on the island, it don't matter anyway, you know, most of them, you know, we don't have anybody. So, and in Cedric Gates' case, it ain't about race. He didn't get voted in because he's black or whatever. He voted in because and this is what I dislike about this news article about him. It didn't bother to say, it said, well, he was a member of the neighborhood board. Mm-hmm. But again, he's also been in other things. He's received certificates for certain civic work. He's been there, right?
But see, that's what's important politically. Because
right.
You're looking at it from a political standpoint. That's the position that matters, because that's what people do often. They go on neighborhood boards and they use that as a drop, you know, as a launching point.
Well,
for elections.
Yes,
because
but
they have something that they, even though neighborhood boards for those elections, you don't. I think there's no money involved. It's very simple to like sign up and run for it.
But it also it might also be just as simple and innocent as, I go there because I'm civic-minded, I care,
right,
and therefore I can reflect back on my previous dealings to reflect and suggest to you that I have an interest and understand the basic things such as Robert's Rules of Law. I can conduct myself in a civil fashion.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's not – sometimes I don't like people in newspapers to frame, in the media, to frame my thoughts or my thinking. It's real simple. You know, Red Hill, right now the editor at the Advertiser is pissed at me because I wrote an article to clarify that what was represented in an article, there was a hate crime. The word nigger was scrawled on the guy's car, mm-hmm. and they passed it off, and the NAACP went up there and passed it off and promoted it as being a hate crime. And in turn, I did the investigation. In fact, I have the whole story posted on carolcox.com. And where the reason the word nigger appeared on the gentleman's car is that the gentleman went and got the man's wife, didn't look over his shoulder, and drove her to his apartment in his home. And when he pulled in the parking lot, the other gentleman who scrawled the word nigger on his car, which was black, two black men, and they got in the fight, and the guy beat the snot out of him. And he told the NAACP, I want no part of this. I'm going to have my insurance to pay for it. I'm not a martyr for the black people. I just simply was stupid. And it happened twice. So, you know, hate crimes is one thing, but when we start to write about it and make representations that it's something that we should ignore, don't use the word. I would rather use the word than to have you skirting around it and then lying and belittling and introducing other dog whistle kind of behavior or chatter. Cedric Gates won.
Yeah.
And again, go ahead.
And it's a significant victory. I think it's one of the most significant of last night.
Yeah.
Because it's an incumbent. An incumbent who actually wanted to clear the homeless out of an area and put up something else.
Yeah.
But she wanted, and that may have been a significant issue in that campaign. I'm not sure, but that's significant. I mean, anytime an incumbent loses.
Have you ever spent much time in the Y&I community?
No, I haven't.
Let me just tell you my experience.
Okay.
Some of the most beautiful, educated, well-intentioned people you'll meet on the planet. Right? But before they leave along Black Rock and past Black Rock coming to town, they're already portrayed as being, well, you better lock your car up. We don't want you to take your car out there and register, you know, rental cars. And you be careful because they don't like howlies out there and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, no, they don't, you know. You understand? In the meantime, what happens? You have a state representative in the name of Colleen Hanabusa, who done diddly for them, brought them a bridge for $1 million that goes nowhere. and in turn, but I sat one day at a restaurant at Hanari's, I think it's called, and I was just absolutely impressed. I met two nuclear physicists. Who were just sitting there with slippers on and talking. They had retired from the Navy. A young man came in with a shirt so ragged, I felt like I wanted to give him my shirt. Mm-hmm. And you know what he did for a living?
Mm-hmm.
He delivered jets. You understand?
Delivered delivered jets.
Delivered jets. He flew them. So, you know, people lease jets.
Mm-hmm.
And like whoever, right. Donald Trump Hawaiian, or whoever, yeah. Hawaiian may lease a 737 or 747 or whatever, just as an example. And once the lease is up, the plane is located here or wherever, that person gets on the plane, flies and becomes the pilot of that plane and deliver it back to the owner or the deliver it where the owner is going to have a new lease. Sitting right there now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the color of Wyandotte, intelligent, wonderful people. But it's hard to, when people are going portraying you as something that you're not, and then speaking evil of you, and then when they get the opportunity to say, that's brilliant. A young man got into the Democratic Party, so that tells you he knew what was going on. He's mindful of what's happening. He knew that he could, right? So don't take that away from him. Then he also have gone out and picked up people and was recruiting people to register, like the old days in Mississippi. You know, that kind of stuff worked. Did you see Kurt Caldwell go and get anybody to pick him up and Wyandotte to go and vote for him? No, he sent somebody else, people that worked for him on the government dime.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Well, that's municipal politics.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you know, that's old-fashioned.
But I understand, but we're speaking to whatever it's described as. This is what Cedric Gates brought to the table,
right.
and instead of maligning him, mm-hmm. just say, just step in, damn, he's brilliant. Gale Sayers, he is.
Well, considering, you know, I wouldn't be talking about him if it wasn't for what I saw on Facebook,
yeah.
and what I saw going on in the race last night and reading about it. Beating an incumbent, again, that's a big deal. It's a big deal anywhere. Especially in Hawaii, where incumbents generally do not lose.
Yeah.
So there must have been something about there must have been major issues there in Hawaii that the incumbent was unable to satisfy the constituency there.
Exactly, and they spoke up.
That's right. They chose a newcomer.
Uh-huh.
They chose a newcomer. And the people in Hawaii, voters, don't normally do that. But I did want to... again, and talk about a couple of races. One, of course, is the mayor's race, which is the one that everybody looks at.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the point that I want to make about the mayor's race, and polling especially. Charles DeJoux was a former city councilman, former legislator.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this before, and I said it years ago, and I said it again. The problem with DeJoux is that he has allowed the party here dictate his actions, and he has not really taken any rational or logical course as a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He should have ran for mayor years ago, not now. And when he had the chance to run against someone like Caldwell, we all know Caldwell, I don't need to elaborate all his points. When he had the chance, and he was leading in the polls, 9%, even if it's plus or minus, you take the minus away, 4%. That's a 5%. Granted, it's not much of a lead, but it's still. He's leading by 9%. If you look at the statistics, if you look at what I've seen thus far, I guess at the results, what I have is 43.7% Kurt Caldwell, 42.8% Charles DeJoux, 9.2% Peter Carlisle. Yeah, it's close. But the fact that Caldwell had a lead last night, first printout, and it inched up, is telling you how weak DeJoux is. And I stated this to people. I said, even with good conditions, and you can't get a better candidate to run against than Kurt Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
The
well,
man is about as transparent as a Victoria's Secret 90.
Well, let's make sure that we give DeJoux the honors of while the reason he didn't run, you see, during that time that he should have run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was over in Afghanistan and Iraq and working covertly in the trenches and working day in and day out, you know, as a soldier. Oh no, I'm sorry. That was someone else. I'm sorry. You know the, what's wrong with DeJoux in this race?
Well,
because he's DeJoux.
I'm curious, what do you think about him? What's wrong with him in your view?
Well, like I say, all I know about him is that when the news stations go to the city hall, mm-hmm. and the people, which are Democrat, he always felt he needed to bark about what was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then that was such a perfect world for him of his type. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a thing called the Bitches and Moaners Club here in the state, mm-hmm. and he's president of it. You
or
see,
Republican.
Well, no, not so like I said.
Or bitches and moaners.
Well, no, there's some Republicans that think rings around you and have a heart of gold. I'm just telling you, that's what's wrong, and that's why I keep harking on this. If the Republicans just get back to business and think about checks and balances and both sides of the aisle and create a wholesome climate, we wouldn't see this kind of crap.
It's not going to happen.
I think
the Republican Party is dysfunctional. It's been dysfunctional.
Oh,
for years.
No. The phoenix rises from the ash. Don't say that, because if
well,
that's
I'm
the case.
Well, I'm saying it because it's the truth.
No,
they
I guarantee.
They have issues. All you need to do is look at the last.
Well, remember the Democrats.
Convention and see what happened with that.
Well, how did the Democrats become powerful? They at one time were of no significance, weren't they?
Yes, but you've got to understand.
But so, no, don't say never.
Very different.
No.
Very different. You're talking about a territorial structure of government as opposed to a state structure of government.
Let me say this. Let me suggest this. Just the fact that people coming here as migrants, immigrants, that will tilt the scale possibly at some times. So the population of Filipinos weren't that great at one time. Then they became the Japanese and the 444. They returned back. So I never say never, and it won't happen in politics. Because people get annoyed and sickened by the same old repetitive nonsense. It's just that time will evolution. Things change
well,
anyway.
It's not a question of whether people get sick or not. It's a matter of the structure of power.
But it changes. It changes. The dynamics of it change. That's the joy of American politics, to say it will never happen.
It changes slower in some places and faster in others.
Okay.
Here is a place where it changes very slow.
But you got to incorporate all these things that influence politics and then dare never to say it won't happen and it never will happen.
Well, I can't say it won't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in that business of it won't happen. I'm just going by it hasn't happened and it's not going to happen at this point. What happens in the future, no one can say.
Right.
But the point about the race that I have is...
Go ahead.
It's striking to me how... I don't know any other way to say this. You know, I'm trying to be as objective as I can about it, but it's hard. I try to be objective, but I've lost the facility of objectivity when you look at just how thoroughly corrupt politics is in this state. But when you look at DeGioia, he's just an ineffective candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He's ineffective. He couldn't win. He won maybe one race, a special election for Congress. And he served for, a couple months? And he didn't really understand that he was basically being set up
mm-hmm.
so that he could be pummeled like a pizza dough by the Democrats who were running Colleen Hanabusa. And they went after him full
speed. Who is a do-nothing?
Because...
Colleen is a do-nothing, and
she met her match when she went up against Brian Schatz.
Right.
And I said she was going to lose that race.
Right.
She foolishly... kept whining about age and the fact that Inouye had picked her as her hand-picked successor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, come on. Basically, she made herself a rather, I don't want to say unattractive figure, but a disliked figure. Schatz played it very well. I have to give him credit. He played the humble game very well and understood what his job was. His job was be the nice guy, you know, don't be nasty, be positive, be upbuilding, and get a whole ton of money from the mainland and other forces.
Yeah, he owes much of his success at this current time to Neil Abercrombie.
Yeah.
You know,
Abercrombie wanted, it's interesting, Abercrombie put him appointed him as senator. Because he probably figured that Schatz was going to eventually run for governor anyway. He's like, I'll put him in Senate, among other things.
And the environmental community, you know, I mean, Schatz is a, quote, environmentalist, and they're thick of...
environmentalist, I like that.
Yeah, so, again, the thing is, with this entire process... Without trying to define it as Republican or Democrat, let's just say we have these people making promises to us, DeJus making promises to us, but he had a hand in the actual building of this rail and getting us to where we are now with the overcost and all by doing what he did and the trips that they all took and what have you. And then we have infrastructure. You didn't hear him coming out and says, I demand, and I'm going to ask the federal government to intervene and force and compel the city and county of Honolulu to fix this dilapidated infrastructure.
Are you talking Charles DeJu?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it. But what was interesting was Caldwell talked about infrastructure last night on the TV stations. He talked about, sewer and getting to talking about other issues like sewer, like infrastructure, like streets. He talked about that, which I thought was interesting. He was trying to do a sleight-of-hand approach because he wants to take the emphasis off of rail. In fact, he was like, there are other issues like rail.
There are other issues. Yeah, like, for example, you know, when he say that he will fix it, the infrastructure and the environmental issues and concern, I would say, Mr. Caldwell, you wouldn't know where to start because you appointed Lori Kahikina as the head of that agency, and we know what she'll do. She'll lie to you as the sewage flowing under her feet, bubbling out into Alawai. So, you know, with intent. So this is the thing that it's a shame that anybody, especially in this climate, a Democrat can stand there and boast that you should vote for him when the town is falling down around
right.
him at his fingertips and at his under his power.
Right.
And he has no shame in saying, well, you know, this other guy here, he has no clue. Well, we know you don't have a clue.
That's right. I mean, this administration has been, the Caldwell administration, and let's just call it as it is, this administration has been a disaster. You have to use the word disaster. It's a disaster. We have growing homeless rates. He cited some figure last night, about 65 people or whatever it was. Oh, it's grown a little bit. The fact of the matter is you had an article in the New York Times this year talking about homelessness in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Which quoted Caldwell. And Caldwell said, the problem with homelessness is basically about money.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts the businesses.
Well, I have.
We all know where his mind is.
Right. Pam Witte Oakland, when she was in for that short reign that he appointed her, I think. I recall her saying that they're going to not release certain monies to nonprofits and what have you. They were going to keep the money and put it in the thing. And I've been trying to read up on that and find it. I had clipped it out a while back. And I'm thinking, we have a short memory and soon to have a short bank account because, you know, and this thing about we're going to go here, we're going to go there, and Schatz was on TV saying, well, we ain't going to get any more or less money. I think that's the first open, honest statement they've all made because once you make a presentation and a representation to the federal government to obtain monies, you have to stick to that.
Yeah.
You can't just modify it willy-nilly. So they're bound. They're not telling us that. And then
right.
this is where Colleen hopped from, what was his heart?
Yeah.
And then she's going to have a heart-to-heart talk with us.
Like
yeah. And then now all of a sudden she's shocked that heart didn't tell, you know. And then, but listen, guys, I don't have time for this nonsense. There's a vacancy for Congresswoman. I got to go.
Right.
Yeah,
it
see.
It didn't take her long to get back. Try to get back to Congress.
Right. Great importance she placed on serving the people, huh? All these matters are that, you know, why couldn't she just say, look, I'm going to join in and I'm going to commit myself to this heart issue. But before that, I got to serve as the attorney for the city council who is accused of wrongdoings when it comes to the rail.
The Honolulu City Council is, in my view, certainly one of the most corrupt bodies in the history in this state.
Yeah.
Not on this island. In the state.
Yeah.
Bar none, they are the most corrupt body in the state.
Well.
Guaranteed.
I just wish the Republican guys that are out, and I'm a Democrat, I'm going to tell you, but I just wish, I don't believe that the Democrats are going to get it, and because there's so much corruption. I, as a person, go out trying to do my civic duties, and I'm met with complete resistance. So it's about big money,
yeah.
Friends. And I'm going to be talking about, you know, Kamiley School out there, where there's at least 7 complaints over dust, and you'd be shocked to see what the state person says.
The whole air conditioning thing and how hard it is to get air conditioning into public schools.
No, this is about dirt.
I know, but
yeah.
Considering how hard it is to get air conditioning
yeah.
into schools.
And where was Joe Jordan at? I don't see any massive letters from her writing to the state and Clean Air. But one of the things, and the takeaway, and I'm going to take a break here in a minute, uh-huh. was that the state representative that of enforcement, Clean Air Branch, Jill Strindrud, told me the other day in conversation uh-huh. that I suggested that we should be more aggressive in this because this is a school that houses some 900-plus children, and many of them are kindergarten.
Right.
Well, you know, we can't put, quote, schools on a pedestal. Really? How about putting the health of the children?
Try saying that to parents. I'd like to see him go to a bunch of parents at a cafeteria or one of
yeah.
the places where neighborhood boards meet and say, you know what, we can't put schools
yeah.
on a pedestal. They have to wait their turn. They're not important.
And where was Joe Jordan at on this one? You know, I don't. I FOIA'd all the complaints and all. I don't.
I just said one more thing. I briefly wanted to.
Real.
I know you got to go on break.
Real quick.
To me, the other interesting race was the Manoa race between Isaac Choi and Dale Kobayashi, and Choi I think barely beat Kobayashi. In that race.
Call back in the next hour. I'm going to take a break here. I got something going
okay.
on. Call me back. Call back.
Okay.
Aloha. Thank you. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll be right back.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has activated his state's National Guard.
K108.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Wonderful day here, and I'm looking out. We've got the rain coming down the canyon now, and as always, you just take a look every 5 minutes, and you got yourself a new view. So anyway, talking about politics and all of that, and how does it relate to our daily lives and what's being... It's one thing when we say that the Democrats get voted in and they're doing what they want to do and the politics of it. But it comes down to, at the end of the day, how does it really affect our lives as individuals, as citizens of the state, as taxpayers, as children growing up, and we should be concerned with those. That's what it's all about. And when we say, well, it's about politics and they can't be trusted and what have you, okay, that's fine. We frame that. But how, in our daily lives, how are we impacted by this nonsense and this corruption and this favorite friend of a friend to get contracts and businesses and hand off and hire and appoint someone who's inept, unskilled, and just ignorant of the rules and don't have the intentions of enforcing the rules, even though they are regulatory bodies or head of regulatory agencies or investigators. So that's when the real corruption comes in. It's one thing to have a couple of guys sitting there making rules and pushing pencils and what have you. It's worse when on the down the pipe a ways, when you pick up the phone and call and report the contamination, the dust flying into your homes or the schools, And there is this humongous world, one of the world's largest solar farms being installed. And you call and you're told, and I got to frame this so you'll understand. I'm not making this up. This is, you've heard my frustrations about the democratic process. But you have people in there will make Russia look like choir boys. And anybody else that runs a dictatorship, they don't care about us, folks. They don't. And so here's one complaint. This is the Clean Air Branch complaint report. And just going to read a couple of numbers. Going to just say one report came out, 3/10/16, and we'll say it's 2016-11-63. That's one complaint. Another one is the same number with 1F. And that's regarding dust, and that was on 3/10/16. 4/22/16, another complaint. And give you an idea, it says here in this first complaint, 125-acre undeveloped property, recent grubbing along Arkell Street, but not working in area doing inspection. Two water trucks on site, dust screen erected along the west section between Kamiley Elementary School and Development's property along the Alakau. Mass grading scheduled to be completed by July and project completion by November. Now, the dust is in the schools, and follow-up inspection to this one, previous inspection, the dust screens was not installed along the entire side of the Alakau Street, picture taken of the installed dust screen. Yet the state goes there and makes another thing on 3/9/16. Dust from grading by Goodfellow Brothers for solar project at on Arkell Street near Kamiley Elementary School. Now these are children. Now we're not talking about rusty buckets like me. This isn't a college, and we shouldn't be exposed either. But here's another complaint. 4/22/16. And in here, they ask if there's a water truck and a sprinkler mister and leave that blank. And these are mitigating measures. Here's another one, 1291F2. Complaint came in 6/29/2016. Here's another complaint, 6/24/16. And the health department goes and inspect, and here's another on 6/27/16, and upon arriving at the construction site, and in order to adhere to security protocol, I phoned Mr. Mark Chambers, General Superintendent for Rec Solar, and they go on to talk about basic stuff. So once again, water truck is there, but no, they have a dust barrel, but no sprinkler mass. I met with complainant, this is another, 7/11/16. I met with complainant and we went around to check the classrooms of Kamiley Elementary School, Charter School. The building we went through was closest to the property boundary where the solar farm is being constructed. There's a coating of dust on all floors throughout the classroom, which the janitor explained had not been touched since Friday. He also informed me that every day they have been cleaning rooms continuously. Even the portable furthest from the development showed dust all over the floors and desk. Associated Principal Kepka also informed me that staff and students are due back in the school in July and wanted to know if the fugitive dust levels are acceptable for all. And get this now. I informed Mr. Kepka that our regulations do not address the fugitive dust that is on their property. The regulations are aimed at the persons who are making the dust and the area it is originating from. So I'm told by Strindru that, well, even though the dust is there, we're seeing the dust on the floors and the benches and the windowsills, we cannot take an action because we didn't see the dust fly over, and we can't tell if this dust is from the construction site. But the only construction site in the area is this development. So we didn't do anything, and we don't enforce that. Well, my question was, well, do you refer them to the appropriate enforcement branch? No, we don't. That's not our problem. That's not our purpose. So why then, if the state inspectors are going there time and time again to this facility and seeing the dust, why are they going if they know they can't enforce it or won't enforce it? This project is condoned by the governor, you see, and HECO, you see, and many URIS, you see, and then in turn, our children don't matter. Where was Joe Jordan? Where was Miley Shimabukuro? They've all been there. But again, you have this number of complaints coming. Why would you bother to use taxpayers' money and time and gas to go to a site that you know you've already proclaimed that you don't have the authority, not authority, you just don't enforce that? And to go on to make matters worse, it was so shameful that in this discussion with Strindroot, she says that, well, this matter, we go there, and if we see dust there, we don't regulate that, as she said in the investigator. But again, she refuses to take any action, even when there were no screens up. She refused to take any action when the owner of the facility that is developing, causing the dust, is acknowledging the cause of the dust, acknowledging that they didn't have a screen up for a certain time during their work, acknowledging that they were going to put, and maybe they need to put mitigating measures in, like the sprinkler mister, and taking other measures, using the water trucks. Clear violations, but yet they say we see no violations. So that's shameful. And this is what you have under the Democrats. You have a government, a facade. They're on TV. They tell you what they can do. And if you look closely, just look at the Zika virus. Look at the dengue fever. Now look at the hepatitis A. I honestly believe that Sarah Park should be fired or removed or demoted. Enough, enough, enough. But again, when you have a party that lies to the people and is more in depth and in bed with the people, the businesses, for what purpose if it's going to impact these communities? And what purpose do we need in an agency to have people stepping over one another in their office, sitting around drawing salaries? And in turn, when they go out to respond, they make excuses for the violators and then explain that it's not their role and it's not their purpose to draw conclusions and issue citations or take legal actions to protect the kids and the other students at going to that school or the community that is also being impacted. So this is why people turn and they'll vote for Cedric Gates. And they will say, no, it's not about whether he was the champagne server at the hotels down there. The people said, we're tired of this. We want some action. And this is not action on the part of this legislature body that ignores us. And later on, I'm going to bring the guys back on. That was Al Lanier last time we were talking. I'm going to bring him back on, and I guess we got a second one. But also, we're going to talk about the Department of Ag. And real quickly, all of our food that comes in, most of it should be inspected, but they've deviated from some roles now and inserted freight forwarders. But I'm asking questions that the food inspectors and the inspectors at the plant quarantine who open our foods up at the ports and what have you, do they have hepatitis A inoculation, a vaccine, TB, or anything? So we're going to talk about that in a bit, and I have a number of questions, and if not this week, we'll get back to it. But there are some serious concerns when just when you think that it's about what you buy and eat, the people that are inspecting, and it's also potentially by hiring the freight forwarders, you're going to push out state workers because you won't be needing them. And we won't be getting the inspections. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Thank you very much for taking my call. You provided a very appropriate, inductive example of what the problem is when you said people are asking, how does this affect me? It is a gestalt, and that means all-encompassing, every aspect. Every aspect of our governance service is affected by the revenue, by the fees, by the general excise tax, by the real property tax, by the feds. That's the revenue. And the cost primarily in this state is the rail, by knowledge. So therefore, you have an audit, and they find the HART and the rail guilty, but there is no enforcement. The Ethics Commission almost doesn't exist. Charter Commission, well, I've got my own opinions. Executive branch, mayor, legislative branch, the council. There is no transparency. No one is held accountable and affects every single one of us. For me, everything that you have said this morning is applicable, and the people are being affected, and the children. Mm-hmm. I taught for over 30 years. I was at a time when I had to fight for an air conditioner for a classroom. I found it unbearable to know how hot it must be and ask students that sitting in their chair, 30 or 35 of them, how to learn. And I support everything that you've said. I thank you so much for what the service you provide for all of us.
Well, thank you. All righty. Call back if you have any more. Okay. I think we'll talk later. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
I kind of heard a little of what you were talking about.
Miss Al?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to have to take a test on this. You got to listen.
No, but I heard a little of what you were talking about a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you don't mind my continuing a little.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the races that I was looking at in regards to the primary last night, and I had looked at this a little earlier, was the one in Manoa between mm-hmm. Isaac Choi and Dale Kobayashi. And that caught my interest. That was one of the ones that caught my interest because of some of the reporting that I saw and the fact that Dale Kobayashi was getting support from the University of Hawaii Professional Assembly, that basically the union there for UH system.
Mm-hmm.
And got a good deal of money, but I guess Choi managed to raise a good deal of money as well. And I think barely beat Kobayashi last night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting one. That's an interesting race to me because, you know, Choi said he was, quote, carpet bombed by Kobayashi. And Kobayashi, of course, is Ann Kobayashi's kid. People may know her as a city councilwoman. Mm-hmm. And so that was a very interesting race to me. Primarily because it was a very significant primary challenge to Isaac Choi, who is I think he's like a 2 or 3 term incumbent, and one of the things that I wanted to bring out is I think that the only way that you really can sort of change sort of the political aspects in Hawaii is you have to primary people. You know what I mean by that?
Go ahead and next. Is this a quiz of me or are you sharing perspective?
Yeah, you know what primary means?
Well, which in voting or general primary?
What I mean is,
well, go ahead next. I don't need to be quizzed.
You have to have these primary challenges to incumbents. And so you're seeing that. We talked about Cedric Gates and Hawaii and I. that was a primary challenge.
We understand that part.
Right.
I'm lost. We got primaries in general. I'm trying to understand the significance of the asking me if I knew.
In order to change the sort of incumbent nature,
okay,
you have to mount a successful primary challenge. So it has to be within the party's primary. So in this case, the dominant party is the Democratic Party. So it has to be within the Democratic primary. And you see at least one instance of an incumbent losing last night. I mean, it's a major issue.
But how do you address that if it's Democrats in the primary?
What I'm seeing is, I look at that Manoa race, I see real potential. There's also, I think, in Pearl City, this whole Tracy Arataki thing with Kong, who is the incumbent. So there were at least a couple of primary challenges in this primary election cycle. And I think that that's something that can bode. I mean, if people pay attention, if they look, and if they study or analyze well enough, they can see that you can run against somebody who's an incumbent for even a couple of terms, and you could possibly beat them.
Right. Well, that's just a natural process. I mean, that I'm.
But it's not that natural here in Hawaii.
But it is by definition.
I'm seeing some strong primary challenges. I'm seeing some strong challenges. I saw some strong ones this year. Manoa, I think, is a great example because that was a very, very close race. Very close.
Yeah, but I'm. You still got the same bundle of folks.
I know.
Isaac Choi is still a member of the Democratic Party.
That's
Kobayashi
right.
is still a Democrat
right.
who's going to come in, and the bigger picture is you come in, you're given your card, you're given your room, you're told where you're going to be representing, you know that, then you get your office, and if the guy, you kiss up to him, the chairman of the head of the Senate or the House, you get chosen, and you get the window over the building, or you get next to the bathroom. And then you're called in and told, well, this is what you want. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? You work with me and, you know, follow my lead, and you'll get what you want to. And at the end of the year, when your challenges present themselves, you'll have some record. But if you don't work with us within the confines of this hui, you're screwed. See,
but
the wait.
Hold on. Uh-huh.
The public don't get to see that. And the thing is when we see these events where Cedric Gates, then we're seeing something. But don't be fooled in thinking that this system is the corrupt nature of it. You have to come in, the chair of the Senate. He controls. He's the tail that wags the dog. You don't want to piss him off. You, even though you have valid concerns and you go and initiate a challenge on behalf of your constituents, you get the whisper. Well, you need to back off. You need to hold off. Don't raise any trouble out there in Waianae on that solar farm because the governor wants this. And then I'm going to work with the governor on this, but we're going to get this. You follow? So screw the people. But we as a party, are going to get this.
Right.
As individuals, we're going to get this. I'm going to get my 20 years in house and make $1 million on speaking fees and fund and chairmanship of boards and what have you.
Right. Well, again, my point was strictly electoral. It wasn't so much the overall overarching political system. Once you get in the legislature, once you get in the council, you have to play the game.
Yeah, but you have people that don't want to play the game, and if we support them, and if you were to take the time, rather than saying, this is the way the system is, and this is the way it works, if you were to advocate for, hey, screw that system, and when we find a person that is willing to come and bring newness to the table, we rally around him and support and dare the politicians.
That's my point.
Yeah.
My point is, if you do it in the primaries, you can get that person, like you had a Cedric Gates, or you can get a person to run, and if he has the momentum, if he has some clear constituency support, some clear support in the community, they could possibly make a difference in that race. You know, so that's your point, I think, again, dovetails with mine, and that's why I say that the primary challenge is where you want people have to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
They have to try to run primaries within the party and try to affect change there.
And that's plausible, but again, remember, taking this is what's so unique about the Cedric Gates. If we engage in this conversation, we have to then gravitate back to the point that it wouldn't apply to him because they were forcibly trying to get him out before
that's
he
right.
got in.
They didn't want him on the ballot.
So that speaks to my point. See, all of these little clicks and all of those things right from the ground floor at the I don't know whether you call it the caucus and what have you. And then you have an incumbent who sits there on her thumbs and let this develop and evolve around her. And then all of a sudden, whoa, what happened? Well, no, it's not what happened. It's what you didn't do.
Right. She didn't do something. Because if you're an incumbent that's been elected, she was appointed to begin with. That's a whole other
yeah.
story. But you were elected twice. What happened this third time?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. But it's kind of been a battle for him. But he's got a very good chance of making the legislature.
Oh, yeah.
Very good chance.
I think so, and I think that... people will rally behind him, and because I know how many issues are out there in the Y&I community.
Right. I'm
now,
sure you do.
And I can only submit this, that the people are very conscious of what they're facing every day out there, every day, whether it's the traffic. And then I had one person, and it made me feel so good, was that they were one of their legislators were boasting about how they got the contraflow in. Mm-hmm. And he says, but what they don't understand is that we've been asking for relief for a long time, and you've been in place for a long time, and you didn't do anything. So don't come here in a celebratory fashion. So I'm wise to you. We're going to campaign and vote you out. So that's the kind of hard-hitting evidence that these people out there in Waianae, the ones that are the rest of the world says, be careful, don't go around those people, you know, those dark-skinned people, those locals and all, because they'll steal from you. But go to Waikiki and they'll poison you with sewage and take your dollars and won't say a damn thing.
Well, see, that's what they want to happen to the tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah, you let that happen to the tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, that's why local people, not necessarily me, but a lot of local people stay away from Waikiki. Oh, we reserve that for the tourists. We reserve that for the people on the mainland.
Well, and that, but again, and guess what? Waikiki developed under the auspices or under the watchful eye of the Democrats.
Well, you know,
disenfranchisement, right?
Well, my theory has always been, my historical contention has always been that part of the reason the Democratic Party became the party in power was because of the shift from the plantation. You're talking about hard manual labor, you know, manual labor-oriented agriculture to tourism, mm-hmm. and what I call mass tourism. And that's my historical contention. Mass mm-hmm. tourism helped pave the way for the Democratic political dominance in Hawaii because it provided another outlet. It provided jobs for people. Oh, I don't have to, like, get out there and, you know, wear these gloves, and I don't have to, like, be out there and make very little money and pay half my money to the company store and, you know, hope my kids get off this plantation and never do what I have to do.
Uh-huh.
It provided another opportunity. You know, you're in an air-conditioned hotel, even if it's not the greatest job, hey, better than being out of there in the field picking pineapples or cutting sugarcane.
Right.
You know, that's my contention in regards to the Democratic Party dominance. It's partly economics. It's a shift in the major industries in Hawaii. And I don't know, maybe this would clash with the Lawrence Fuchs view of Hawaii or the other kinds of views of Hawaii by pundits and so forth, but that's my contention. And so when we look at this state, that's why I say that this primary election cycle, couple of interesting stories. The Cedric Gates one is interesting, and this Manoa race to me was interesting because of how close it was, and Choi almost losing it, and the feeling that if you don't like somebody who's an incumbent, you go and you pour money into their challenger. Now I can tell you, Kobayashi's going to run again.
Okay, well,
he's definitely going to run again.
So what? I was watching him, and I saw his comments last night on TV, and he was so hurt that there was some remark that that Troy had made, and and you know, he was so hurt. I'm really bothered by some. I'm paraphrasing by what Troy said. I thought he was an honorable person or something to that effect, and it's like, dude, you're in a political arena now. Pull up your Pampers and shut up, you know, and or I'll take your pacifier from you, right?
I can't disagree with what you're saying, Carol. I mean, you got to man up.
It's like, okay, well, then turn to mom. Okay, you bail me out of this. Isaac's not playing fair. That's what's sickening about Hawaii's politics.
Right.
We see the siblings and the children and the relatives of one another and getting in and pointing and, you know, and it's like, well, it'll come to an end because all things, the dynamics of nature, it's always striving to reach an equilibrium, but it will never. So there's dynamics that will change this no matter if they go kicking and screaming. They better enjoy it now because the shoe will be on the other foot.
It sounds like some sort of political form of entropy or something like that.
And so, I gauge a person. Look, man, if Isaac Troy said what he said, hey, the elect people already fill out the ballots. This is after the fact, and to say that I'm think we're going to stay in, what's offensive about that? You're not playing fair. Mm-hmm. What?
Well, you got to keep in mind he's a first-time candidate. That I'm aware of.
Yeah, but leave your pacifier at home. Don't bring it, you know, and when it falls out of your mouth, you start whining.
Just... You know, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I'm a cynical, hardened veteran of all this. I covered 3 or 4 elections, and I can tell you that it isn't fair. One of the things Civil Beat brought out in their coverage...
Who is Civil Beat?
Civil Beat.
Civil Beat.
Yeah.
Is that a beat that's good for your diet or something?
Civil Beat, the news site.
Oh.
One of the things Civil Beat brought out, and I've mentioned this to people, because I used to look at the actual election results, not what they print in the newspaper or whatever, but the actual results. Every race has under or over votes and blank votes. And I think they had mentioned the amount of blank votes. Let me see if I can... pull this up here.
Well, I tell you what, while you're looking there, if you get a chance, the next time that you write something for Civil Beat, give the Carol Cox show an honorable mention. You know why? Mm-hmm. That, since they've been here, they've never mentioned, but I get everybody want to crawl in and go, yeah, the Civil Beat. Well, you know, hey, this is not a billboard for Civil Beat.
Right.
You know, so, but it's interesting.
Well, I just wanted to cite my source.
but how well is it needed or how necessary? But anyway,
but
just thought I'd
just... They mentioned in the mayoral race, it was like 3,440 blank votes, I think, for the, for that race. 2% of votes, 72 over votes.
Interesting you mentioned that because if you look at in my district, there Ryan Yamani, right? He had a substantial number of blank votes. He got 3,000, but then 1,000 something were blank.
That was what I saw when I looked at, and I don't know if people are aware of this. I've mentioned it to people, but I haven't really written about it or discussed it, even publicly on shows like this. But one of the things that I looked at when I was covering elections back in mid to late 90s and then early 2000s.
Right, okay.
And looking at the results, was I looked at all the votes, not just the ones for the candidates, but the under, over votes and the blank votes. And what really took me aback were the amount of those votes, the under and over. And sometimes you're looking at these votes and you go, the amount of votes could have made somewhat of a difference in that district.
But if you're patient, you can look at it this way. As I did when I read that this morning. Okay, he got 1,000 some blank votes.
Right.
He's my representative. I too have I'm concerned about the way he has gotten in office and stayed in there and passes you off. He receives you well, but no follow through. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is two messages here. It serves two good purposes. One, a potential person that is interested in joining politics, he or she may read that and say, oh, all I have to do is work to get the other larger portion of that vote that he has, because it's already, there's 1,000 some people already. So it's a great statement. Then what should be said to Yamani or the likes of him, I better become more in tune with the people that I, and my constituents, rather than the chairman of, what's his name, the chair of the obnoxious leader there, the, what's his name, Suki.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to him and you think, well, I just spoke to the king, you know, and I better be careful. He'll have one of his underlings behead you because you didn't lay down and let him walk over you or something. But I saw that and I'm thinking, Yamani should be worried because that's a substantial number. Now, someone out there may have given thought to running. And if we see this repeat itself, those are just my basic observations of this, and I'm thinking, okay, that's, it'll gauge, allow a person to gauge right from the bat. Should I? Yeah. I think I can win that. He knows what to target, or she.
That's interesting that you see it as somebody reads that and says, oh, all these votes that were blank or they under or over, he didn't get, I've got a chance if I run in that district. That I think that's worth considering. But I also look at it and I go, look at all these votes that didn't count. Look at all these votes that weren't part of any column, win or lose. And it's, when you think about it, now I'm not a politician and I'm not involved in politics in any way, shape, or form. I don't run candidates.
Okay.
I'm a journalist and a writer. But I look at that and I go, wow, it's scary. When you think about it, it's scary because this is what they have to deal with election year in and election year out, but you don't hear a lot of talk about all these votes that don't get counted.
It's a shot across the bow. You're getting too close. You're in the wrong waters. You've taken this boat adrift, and it's about to sink. That's one message to the politician. If you play around and take us for granted, we're sending you the message. Yes, it's a cycle of 2 years, and that's not long when it comes to politics. And so you better pull your belt and your pants up tight, and you better pick up the phone, and you better give us some results, and you better be checking in with us come 11:30, you see. And no more of this loosely, I'll take care of that, and then you never hear from him. That's the joy of that. That's what my takeaway, because nothing's in place in this system that allow you to judge how well or functional is your representative. But this, when you look at this, wow, there's 1,400 out there like me wanting to vote his butt out. You know.
That's an interesting take on it.
Well, if you don't vote for him, you obviously you're saying you don't want him.
Right.
It's period.
Or don't care.
Yeah. Well, you don't care, you mean, that the voter don't want to care?
The voter doesn't. If you're voting, if you overvote, you choose more than one person.
Yeah.
It's a mistake.
But we don't have to speculate. We can talk specifically about this. The benefit of this is that it may not be everything that I'm saying is true about this, but the potential allows for any other person to gauge and not having the money to do a survey or study.
Right.
But it says to that person, okay, if I get out there and demonstrate to the public, I get involved civically, and I do things and that to show, maybe I can unseat this guy.
Right.
You
so
see?
You look at those votes. I, of course, see what you mean. You look at the votes and say, he didn't get those votes. Nobody else got those votes.
Right.
But I could get those votes if I run, possibly.
If I demonstrate, not just run. Because here's an example. You got many people that ran for mayor, but then the newspaper said they ain't the top three. So
that gets into another area.
Yeah.
And here's the other area. And this is what I've told people before. There are plenty of people who run for office who you never hear about and who aren't aware. And you look at that mayor's race, it's like 11 people. Who got all the coverage? Charles DeJoux, Kirk Caldwell, and what's his name?
Carlisle.
Those were the three. Kirk, Caldwell, DeJoux, Carlisle. Those were the those are the ones who got all the credit. This has happened in numerous elections. I mean, in the years that I've been a writer,
and
a journalist, I could tell you that's the way it's been. You know, even writing for these small ethnic newspapers at times, freelancing for them and covering elections, it's like, okay, we want you to cover this guy, this guy, this guy. We can allow you this coverage. We can't, you know, they're not going
to... Yeah, they're shaping it. They're picking who we want to vote for. They want us to vote for. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Thank you. Your guest comments are so astute. He is so knowledgeable from past experiences and so forth. About the primary challenge
Richard, we've now, had to go out and buy him a new hat after already. His head's so big.
I just support what he's saying, but I want to deal with realism like Ron Hoakley, who ran for mayor. Now, if Hoakley were to provide the platform for his running before the power brokers in the Democratic Party, Ron Hoakley may never have had a chance to even put his name on the ballot. Now, once on the ballot, and this is what Pontus Bebedura said, the party, the Democratic Party, they'll give you 45% and then they'll shut you off. Now, Hoakley got 781 votes, and Mrs. Hong got 11,040, name recognition. Now, the worst is down at the very bottom of today's page, District 1. Kimberly Marcus Pine, 76-48. Dudley and Berg and Anthony, all fewer. How could she possibly have gotten so many votes given her performance on the city council? She is the preferred candidate by the Democratic Party, regardless of what she stands for.
Well, she's a Republican. You got to keep that in mind about her. But I see your point. I've seen this year in and year out, election year in and election year out. When it comes to the media here in Hawaii, if you're not a name candidate or you're not well known in some way, shape, or form, you don't have to be famous, you don't have to be extremely well known, but you don't have some kind of tie, something that makes you stand out, you don't have a chance in an election.
Let me see.
You know, especially a major election for mayor, governor, congressman.
Right.
Forget it.
Let me inject this in. Here's one of the reasons I think that, you guys are here. You can speak to this or why I believe the Cedric Gates matter, he's out of bounds. He should be left alone because the same Democratic Party that was rushing after the fact to say that he was a Green Party member and so therefore he should be excluded, not as a Democrat, they so readily accept Republican, right? Karen Iwana was a Republican. She was accepting a Democrat. Mike Gabbard was a Republican. And yet they want to now malign him, Gates. So I think it's the newspapers and the media is out of bounds because if they aren't willing to give equal ink to this discussion, that why pick up him when you will accept anybody from the Republican Party?
At least in that race, you had maybe a couple of contenders. You had Gates and you had the incumbent in that race. So it wasn't like the mayor's race where you had like 11 people and, you know, fighting it out. But when it comes to elections here, and I'll say it here and I'll say it anywhere else, it's not a level playing field. It's not even a level amount of teams playing, right? It's not like the same talent is distributed on each team. There's no level playing field. There's no level of similar talent on each team. People who run for office here, especially for major offices like mayor, like I said, you only saw the three contenders at the debates. They debated. They went to forums. Where were the other candidates? Why weren't they on KITV? Why weren't they on Hawaii News Now? Why weren't they featured as much in the Star advertising?
You know the answer to that, and then I'll let Richard speak.
To that because I've been in the media for over 20
years.
Well,
I understand that, but
picking and choosing. They want to cover who they will cover because it's a resource issue for them, partly.
Right, because they got money. When a guy shows up and got $2 million in a war chest, hey, you're going to court him because you eyeballing that bag of money that he has. Let's not be foolish or foolhardy. Richard, hold on, Al. Hold on. Yeah, Richard, go ahead. You had a comment.
Newspapers are in an existential crisis. If Murphy Hanneman gives you the money for a whole page, they're going to cater to whatever Murphy Hanneman wants or anybody like that. We need a revolution of consciousness. Too abstract. We need a resolution of politics. Too abstract. Do we need agitation instead of the reality of what's happening right as we speak?
Yeah, we have a mayor right now sitting that manipulates the Ethics Commission, the Police Commission, and then overtly practices racism by taking on and then dog whistling about the Chief Aloha. Let me tell you something, folks. Caldwell is a lawyer. And if he wasn't a lawyer, he knows that no one has a right or should be, no one should be compelled just because for political purposes that you should go forward and spill your guts about a matter that you're being investigated on. There's no crime has been committed. None has been defined. Even if he were to be convicted or indicted, still yet, that's premature. The mayor operates out of bound, and the rest of those folks and they all their friends and lawyers that they appoint and the ex-judges only serve to be more corrupt and encourage this man and anybody in his position or his ilk to behave that fashion.
Right.
There is no checks and balance. There is no democracy here. And I'm not sure other than some kind of revolt by the people. And I choose the words carefully because we need some agitation. Waha, you used the word a long time ago and exactly right. Over and over. The power appoints the people who can enact laws. The rich enact the laws and they grind the poor, and that's what's happening here.
Now,
so appreciate your program.
Yeah. One of the things, speaking of the Ethics Commission, I did speak and got a response from Councilman Ron Manor. He is actually scheduling on the 23rd of August of this month that the hearing of the resolution, the resolution to audit the Ethics Commission. So there you go. And we'll wait for that. It's August 23rd. So if you want to go down there and comment.
I will.
The point, you brought up money, and I think that's a very significant money. And I can speak from a media experience. Come election year, at least with the small ethnic newspapers that I used to freelance for years and years ago, you have all these candidates and politicians that have to put ads in the newspapers, right? Just like they have to put ads on TV. So you have money coming into these newspapers. You have money coming into these stations. And so money is a huge factor in regards to media and media coverage, whether people realize it or not. I'm not saying that just because DeJew and Caldwell and Carlisle have more money than all the rest of the other candidates, that they're automatically going to get media coverage. It's not simply that. It's also the fact that it feeds off symbiotically, whether people realize it or not. Because these small newspapers, like the ones I used to write for, especially in the Filipino community.
Okay, get on. We coming down.
They need ad revenues coming in.
Yeah.
They need it. I mean, it's a financial.
But if that's the case, we had a slew of people running, so a dollar here, a dollar there. Why not try to get them all the right?
I mean, again, you know, it's never. The thing you got to understand when it comes to media and coverage of politics is it will never be fair. It will never be just. It is always going to be all right. Who are the big boys? Who are the ones who have a shot? And who can we cover? It's worth allocation.
And that's true. But I think you're missing a very important point here. I'm not trying to educate the newspapers or the media. I'm simply trying to educate by pointing out these things to the voter. And so when we say, I have to understand this and I have to understand that, no, I'm sitting here and hoping that you could assist me in conveying to the people how to be mindful and watchful. I don't give a damn about the media. I don't care if they succeed or fail. I don't care what the past is on the media or what you've done and I've done. This is about taking this moment and shaping it and saying, applying it. Hey, here's a few drops of thought, food for thought. Take this, and in your next endeavor of voting or your experience, then try to incorporate that. That's all. I don't care about the historical.
Well, one of the things I would emphasize to people out there is, again, the nature of the news media and the nature of coverage. And the coverage is never fair. It's never going to be equal to all the candidates.
Okay, so how does one, sitting at home watching this, avoid paying mind to this and taking what they say real quickly, 1 minute.
Well,
what do you recommend they do?
Internet era, and so people have the chance to actually go scope out and find candidates, going online, finding who's running, finding who's going for office. In a way, they can bypass some of the media filters. They can't entirely, but they can try to do that. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have done this years ago. It would be very difficult.
Yeah. You there? You broke.
Yeah.
I tell you, the internet is the best thing since cornbread, man.
All right.
I'm telling you. So anyway, thanks for calling in, we'll talk some more later on.
Okay, bye.
Aloha. So guys, nothing we say here is to be taken for gospel. I'm just tossing it out and some observations, but. This makes for an interesting thing, but that one point about the Gates matter, I think they should declare hands off, because if you can one day be walking on the aisle of being a Republican and objecting to people's civil rights and right to marriage and all of that, and then turn around and be an advocate of hatred and dispersing that and spewing it, and then one day you get this warm hand on your back. Come on in, brother. Welcome to the Democratic Party. While Cedric Gates, they didn't say his plank or his stance were completely in extreme opposition to the Democratic Party. It's just that he had declared as a Green Party once before. But I understand why he would have been encouraged to apply as a Green Party, because the Democratic Party is as bigoted as the Republican Party that they claim about. They try to tell us, be careful of the Republicans. They're bigots. They hate blacks. They hate people of color. They hate women. But you turn and look to see what you have, that very example in the Democratic Party, as racist, as separatist, as anything you want, you name it, right here in this town. And so I would say the best thing to do in this matter of Cedric Gates, get on about business, and you tolerate people stealing amongst you. There were Nestor Garcia. There is Romy Cachola. And they seem to be flourishing. You see, you didn't balk at that, didn't write any letters, didn't call the newspaper to tell him we think he should be out because he's acting unethical. So this is when the subtleties of bigotry comes out, and then you dog whistle and try to tag him. Let him alone. Let him walk his path, and you should be clearing the brush so that he, as a person who's just as entitled to do what he wants to do, run, and let it be just that. None of this dog whistle and chatter about he missed it, he misinformed. No, if they didn't get it, no fault on his part, especially when you're quick to accept a Republican just like that. So we'll talk to you next week, and take care. Aloha.
and you'll be sorry someday.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.